Well, I just want to begin our time this morning by recounting to you a story you may have heard, but can help us get focused on what the Lord would have for us. And the story involves that of an elderly missionary couple. This couple had gone out from the United States years before. But after serving overseas in the field for many, many, many years, it had reached the point in which it was time to turn the work over to somebody else. They indeed were elderly. And so they, after handing it off, got on a boat to head back to the States. Well, that same ship that they were headed back to the States on, there was a very well-known politician, a celebrity of some renown. And from the very get-go, they observed how, boy, he just got the attention and everybody just lavished such things upon him and hung on every word and just all had this entourage with him. And then when they got back to the States, they couldn't help but notice that when they disembarked, this particular politician, this well-known personality, was just flooded with crowds. There was bands and people greeting him and just a large gathering. Well, after he got off, the elderly couple started making their way down the gangplank also, and the wife couldn't help but notice, but her husband looked pretty sad. He was looking pretty discouraged. And she turned to him and said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "You know, this guy has done nothing for the kingdom of God, this other guy, this politician, he's well known and all, but it's just all been about the world. And look at the people to greet him. Look at the bands and how received he is and just how popular he is. And here we are, we've been serving the Lord all this time. And now we show up and nothing, no great reception or anything." But to that she said, "But we're not home yet." Not speaking of an earthly home, of course, by that heavenly home in which they were headed towards. We're not home yet. The Bible clearly teaches that those who belong to the Lord are pilgrims on this earth. As it was for that missionary couple, so it is for us. We are pilgrims on this earth. In Hebrews chapter 11, I have to turn there, that's not what we're going to be studying, but that's just to help introduce our topic. But in Hebrews chapter 11, as it speaks of those that are in that what's known as the hall of faith, it's recorded this about them. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So the clear declaration that those who belong to the Lord are pilgrims, strangers, wayfarers on this earth. But not only they, those who are in the hall of faith there in Hebrews 11, but we also, of course, are pilgrims just passing through. Peter calls believers over in 1 Peter 2:11. He says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." But I put that up to highlight that Peter addressed them as such, as what? Sojourners, as strangers, as pilgrims. So I just want us to see that that's a very apropos title for all of us. Pilgrims. I've started with that reminder to help set the stage for what I believe we are called to study together this morning and in the coming weeks. For what we're about to consider holds much encouragement for us on our life's pilgrimage. Turn, if you will, now to Psalm 120. Turn in your Old Testament to Psalm 120. In Psalm 120, we read this. Psalm 120, a song of ascents. "In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." This psalm begins a series of 15 psalms, all titled A Song of Ascents. From here to Psalm 134, if you look ahead, you'd see that every one of them has the title above it, A Song of Ascents. What does that mean? And what does that have to do with us on our pilgrim's journey? That's what the coming weeks will soak us in. We're about to join some other pilgrims. We are pilgrims, and we're going to join some other pilgrims. And what we're going to see is that our pilgrimage is to be much like their pilgrimage. Namely, we're going to see that our pilgrimage is a journey of worship. And that's what I've called our series that we're about to embark upon. A journey of worship. But for this morning, here in Psalm 120, I've called the title of this message this morning, based on verse 1, I cried, he heard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered this morning, we gather with that awareness, we're not home. We're passing through. Father, indeed, you've placed in the heart of every believer that sense of this world is not our home anymore. Our home is up ahead. So Lord, speak to us about the provision for that journey. Not just the destination, but how we're to travel. Just in all this, Lord, I pray it'll be a morning of encouragement and ministry as we all travel this life's journey. Lead us now, we ask. Speak to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. I found that to be very true. For everyone who received Christ as Savior, we have a sense now that this isn't it. There's that longing inside of us. And we see it was never designed to be found here, what we're really looking for. But that's because this isn't home. We're to be pressing on. We're pilgrims passing through, is the encouragement. As I mentioned, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, they're all referred to as the Psalms or Songs of Ascent. Psalms, of course, were meant to be sung. And these are all titled the Songs of Ascents. Why? What does that refer to? What do these 15 Psalms as a collection have for us as fellow pilgrims? Well, there's a whole lot of discussion on why these are titled a Song of Ascents. But for our sake, we're going to follow the most common understanding of this. And it is this. These 15 psalms were songs sung by the pilgrims, the children of Israel, as they would ascend travel up to Jerusalem. See, the children of Israel were called to make 3 pilgrimages to Jerusalem every year. No matter where they were, they were supposed to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. They were to come up for the Feast of Pentecost and also for the Feast of the Tabernacles or Booths. So on all 3 occasions, they were to become pilgrims, journey up to Jerusalem. By the way, as a sidelight, no matter where you are in Israel, you always go up to Jerusalem. That's a common phrase there, because you go up in altitude. You ascend up to Jerusalem. Thus, they're titled the Songs of Ascent. They're for pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for the feast to worship. So what we have in these 15 psalms are psalms of the pilgrim. Songs of those who are far from home when they start out, far from their destination. There are people who long to be there, long to be home. Thus, they are fitting for the believers to study, fitting for us to gain much from, fitting for us to sing. For we, as we saw earlier, are pilgrims also. It's important to remember that these pilgrims are on a journey of worship. They're going to that place in which they might join with others to thank God, to worship God, to praise God. That's the goal for them. But what we're going to see, these psalms show us that worship is not just a destination, but they're a way to travel. Worship is not just a destination. Oh, I'll rejoice once I'm home. But no, Worship is a means by which we travel, the way in which we're to travel this pilgrimage. That's why I've called our series A Journey of Worship. For our pilgrimage to be just that, is to be a journey of worship. As we go through these psalms in the coming weeks, I pray you'll consider joining with us, because they are a series to be taken together, but we're not going to cover all 15 in one time like this. But as we journey through this, remember this. Nothing God does is happenstance. He sets these in the order He does for a purpose, namely to encourage and minister and to help us on our pilgrimage. But there's an order to all of it. And each one of these psalms are going to set before us an important truth for our journey. Not to be intellectually known, but to be heart applied on our pilgrim's journey. So I encourage you, let's let God speak to each of us through what we're going to be studying this morning and in the weeks ahead in these psalms. Let Him speak to us something from each one of them that are going to be something we can look to, remind ourselves of, sing about. Let each time now be something that will help us, that will lead us to worship God on our pilgrimage home. An example of how there's something for everybody here would be like this. Bible commentator G. Campbell Morgan, well-known Bible commentator, he titles Psalm 120 this. He titles it, Jehovah, the Hope of the Pilgrim. How important is hope on our pilgrimage? So very crucial, isn't it? To know that we have a true and living hope. Our hope's not just a, well, I hope so, but a sure and certain and living hope. That on our journey, certain things are settled. Heaven is settled. Forgiveness. All those things are settled if you receive Christ as Savior. And so it gives us that living hope. So he titled this psalm, Jehovah, the Hope of the Pilgrim. I was reading another commentary of sorts from a group called the Friends of Israel Ministry. They titled Psalm 120, Our Deliverer. That what they gain from this, and they get this particularly from verse 2, is how God is our deliverer on our pilgrimage home to Him. So how important is that to a pilgrim? Crucial, of course. So what I'm saying is there's something here for each. It may not be the same thing. There's no exact right answer, but there's something for each of us here that we can lay hold of and help us in our journey. See, either of those titles is good. Jehovah, the Hope of the Pilgrim, Our Deliverer. They both capture what that psalm means to them, and maybe to you by the time we're through. But I do want to make one suggestion to us, for all of us. As we go through this psalm and the psalms ahead, but this morning this one in particular, be thinking of what this psalm captures. It's something here that captures what God would have you know for your journey. That you might even by the time we're through, write that down. Be it a note in your Bible, in your notebook you keep. But by the time we're through, see if you might come up with a title. Something's going to capture this that you can worship Him about and know and look to as you make your pilgrimage. So give it that goal. Let the Lord speak to each of us now. And may we draw encouragement from it. Well, let's dive in. Verse 1, Psalm 120, a song of ascents. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. The first of these pilgrim psalms begins with the author recalling how he had reached a point of distress. He calls it as such. In my distress, he says. And it's quickly evident that at this point in his journey, the source of that distress are the words, the lies, the tongues of deceit that were being thrown at him, spoken about him. And it's done by those who don't know God. We'll see that in a moment. But he is the recipient now of harsh, cutting words. Is that not often the cause of our distress in our journey? All of us have been recipients of harsh, hurtful, cutting words at some point in this journey, probably. And we know that words do indeed hurt, and lies go out, and reputations are ruined. And it's so hard to recapture a lie or to straighten it out. Lies, gossip, and all go out much faster, much further than the truth seems to. And people believe so readily a lie. And this man is caught in that, and he's crying out about it. But notice it begins in that case. There are lies, there are deceits going on of which he's the recipient. And so what is his response in his distress? What's he say? He prays about it. For that's what it means here when he says, I cried to the Lord. Didn't seek to give back what I was getting, but instead I gave it to God. I went to God with it. I cried to the Lord. Crying out is prayer. Why pray? Because prayer is talking to God. And relationship, if it's healthy, always involves communication. I have heard of people who say, well, why should we have to pray? If God knows everything and God knows my needs, why should I have to pray? Because his goal is not just to be some kind of a vending machine. His goal is relationships with us. He wants fellowship. He knows we need communion with him, and thank God we can have it. Both the looking to him, casting our cares on him, adoring him and all, but also hearing from him words of encouragement or hope or wisdom, whatever we need. See, it's meant to be a two-way street. And prayer is always an indication of the health of our relationship with him. So it's not that we have to pray. It's that we get to pray. It's a privilege to pray. We have someone to go to when we are in distress. Important reminder and encouragement here. The word heard here, it says, in my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. If you have, let me ask you maybe, if you be so bold, if you have another translation instead of heard, what does it have? If you have a New International Version or a New American Standard Version, it says what? Anybody have that translation? It's okay. What's that? Answered me. Well, why would it say that? Because my understanding that the Hebrew word translated heard in the New King James is a word that means and it carries the idea of response. That's why so many commentators go ahead and answer this. I cried and he answered me. It carries that idea of God responds to our prayers, our cries. So what do we have? Here is a person who longs to be free of his circumstances. He's not in Jerusalem yet. He's not home yet. Indeed, this is the first psalm of the pilgrim. He's in his situation, his circumstances, but he longs to be free from there. And so he cries out, and it says, God hears. God answers. On our pilgrim's journey, what will our distress find us doing about it? Unfortunately, we tend to do everything else, and then when all else fails, we pray. But notice here, for the pilgrim beginning his journey, it's not the last thing, it's the first thing the pilgrim is to do. Pray. Give that thing to God. Lift that thing up to God. Seek God's help in that circumstance. In this life's journey, that comes first. Lord, in my distress, in my circumstances, in this world I live in, I look to you. That's the beginning point of this journey, a key part of how we're to travel. What does your distress find you doing to it? Too often we look to our wisdom and our resources and all. For God would say, no, start by looking to him. Crying out to him. See, big picture-wise, I mean, this guy in particular, his circumstances are that there's these lies going on. He's being attacked with these deceitful tongues and all. But we face all kinds of things that cause distress, all kinds of circumstances we wish we could be free from and that are symptoms of this world that we live in and all. So the big picture is what? This first psalm expresses the turmoil of living in a world that is contrary to God. This world is antagonistic towards God. And that is indeed the kind of world we live in. It's the world the psalmist was living in. It's the world we live in. And so many times, living in this world, living amongst those who have no interest in God, totally just about themselves, very steeped in this culture and the things of the world and all, we can identify with this soul that's longing for fellowship with God. In essence, he's kind of saying, hey, I live here, but oh, how I long to be there. And we live here, but oh, how we long to be there. But it's this life's journey. Now, it could happen any time. Did anybody see the sunrise this morning? I don't know what it was like where you were, but up here on the mesa up here, it was beautiful. Matter of fact, it was so much so I got here, and Jeff was first one here, and he was in here, and I said, Jeff, come look at this. And we went over the door here and just looked at it. Beautiful sunrise. And I even said, I said, wow, I wonder if today's the day. Amen. To which Jeff said a very wise inquiry. He said, well, you know, it's like the Lord said, you know, you can tell the weather, can't you tell the signs of the times? Point being, one of these days, it will be the day, huh? But that's not for me and you to pick. By the way, do you know when the Lord's coming again? Right on time. Right on time. But meanwhile, we're pilgrims passing through. And so that's, we get that big picture here. This person, they're saying, I'm here, but oh, I look forward to the day I'm home. But meanwhile, we're journeying, we're traveling. So make sure we notice that. The whole series of songs of ascent begins with this one, declaring his cry to the Lord, and that it was heard. It was answered. See, it's meant to be a statement of assurance that as we are on our pilgrim's journey, we have a God who hears. We have a God who answers. Not always, of course, answering what we would want. We are too short-sighted too often. No, but he always is out for our best interest. He always does what I need, when I need it, how I need it. He's out for my best interest. He does indeed do what verse 2 says. He delivers. He hears. He answers. So we need to remember, it begins with that understanding. We pray, and we have a God who's with us and hears us on our pilgrim's journey. Verse 3, what shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. What's going to come of what the way you guys are talking about me, these lies? What are you going to get for it? Well, the point he's saying is, if you don't turn around, you don't repent, there'll be judgment, of course. The coals of the broom tree are known to burn especially hot. And that's what it's referring to. That if someone doesn't turn around, then their destination isn't heaven, it's hell. And he says, that's coming up. Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Those of Meshech were people who lived up above modern-day northern Israel, up that way. Those who were these tents of Kedar were people who lived in the south of Israel, actually descendants of Ishmael, and points to the Arab people. Makes it a very pertinent psalm for today, of course, for the Jews. But pertinent for us also. Because the idea here is basically this. He's saying that he lived amongst the people of this world. He lived amongst the people who were cruel. They wanted war, not peace. There was no love in them. There was no honesty. Integrity didn't matter to them. They were marked with cruelty and hate. And he lived amongst them. And he laments that, woe, woe is me. I live in this situation. Verse 6, my soul has dwelt too long here. That could have two meanings, really. First of all, where does your soul dwell? Make sure it's dwelling in the Lord. But notice what he counts here. He goes, you know, my soul has dwelt too long in these circumstances. You ever feel like that? Lord, when? Lord, it's just been so long, it seems like this world getting worse and worse. This world's like a top spinning out of balance, getting worse and worse, Lord. It's been so long. But the encouragement, of course, is, but I prayed and he heard. But he's lamenting his situation. Now again, remember, this is the first of the pilgrim songs. Its circumstances are about one who is living in an atmosphere of ungodliness. But notice, because of his experience of God working and hearing, that in turn was creating a desire on his part to worship God. Our circumstances, God would have our circumstances drive us to him. That today we would cry out and know him in the way this is pointing to. That our circumstances would find us worshiping him in the midst of those things. So notice that. He's in these situations, these circumstances, this world, he's in it, but he's not of it. And he's saying, but Lord, you. I've been here a long time, Lord, but you, I've learned this. You hear, you answer, you work, you deliver. I'm going to worship you in the midst of it. Let our circumstances drive us to know God like that. Let our circumstances drive us to cry out to God. Let our circumstances find us worshiping God. That our journey would be as God designed it to be, a journey of worship. Again, not because we're home. It's not just a destination, but a way that we can travel. And God lifts us above these circumstances that we're in. See, it's not just the declaration, I want to go home. I want to be home with you, Lord. I just want to go home. It's not just that I want to go home. Make sure you rephrase it. Make sure you say, I am headed home. And if we will remember to do that in our circumstances, it changes how we experience those things, so to speak. It changes us in them. It helps us see them better, tackle them better, go through them better. It's not just, oh, I want to go home, Lord. I am headed home. This isn't my home, but I'm going there. And it's settled and it's secure. I am going home. Oh, how that changes the journey. How it changes the journey when we recognize we have a for sure destination. We are indeed headed home. Well, I gave us an assignment when we began. I asked you to think about what you might title this psalm for yourself. What God might want to take out of what maybe I've shared, or just something the Holy Spirit's directly spoken to you about, something in the text here, something you might gain from this that you could write in your notes or certainly at least remember in your heart, something that'll help you in what you're going through maybe right now. Something in your situation, something for your pilgrim's journey. So I won't ask us to speak out loud. Indeed, I encourage you not to do that. This is rhetorical, but I want it to still be applied, I pray, for all of us. What speaks to you here that would be of help on your journey? Think about it now. Really get it settled. Record it. If God's showing you that, it would be worth recording, I would think. So make sure you remember it and think about it. Now, it might be something I've directly said. It might be something else. But lay hold of this, pilgrim. As God says, okay, you're living in those situations, those circumstances, but here's something I have for you. I found myself drawn to two parts in particular in this psalm. The first one is why I titled it what I did this morning. Remember I titled our time, I Cried, He Heard. And that really spoke to me. What an encouragement, what a reminder. Have you ever experienced answered prayer? I trust you have. Because what an awesome thing it is to go to God, it's just between you and Him, and have Him minister something or lead something or in some way or whatever He might have done. But answered prayer is so awesome. So it's important that we have settled the fact that we have a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. Again, answering the best for our interest in His means, His timing. But that really leads me to the second thing that drew me to this chapter, and it was addressed by the one commentary I mentioned. The second point being is that very fact that God does deliver us. God delivers us. He hears, He answers, and He delivers. Remember, this is just the first in the series of songs for pilgrims. This is just the first one, and you have to go through them all. But don't miss that. It is the first one, pointing to some things, settling some things. And there is much here that will lead us to worship Him on our journey of worship in these declarations. This morning, we've settled on us. We've looked at that fact that we can have the assurance on our pilgrimage home that God hears, God delivers. I wonder what the Lord has spoken to you this morning. I wonder if you might leave here with as a pilgrim that as we begin this sort of journey through this and help us along our pilgrimage, I wonder what it might be. I encourage you, lay hold of it. Maybe share it with someone today. A mate, a friend, somebody. Record it. That we might go back to it, that you might think about that as you face that circumstance. And that you might thank Him for it and worship Him for it. Let's all be in the place where we can know the joy of praying and having the assurance that God hears and that God is for us and that He's working and He delivers. How might you sing of all this on your pilgrim's journey? Now let me ask something real quick. If you're visiting this morning, or maybe you've attended here a long time, or somewhere between those two, but you've not personally received Christ as Savior, this has nothing for you. This psalm is an introduction to a series of psalms of pilgrims headed home to God. But there's only one way we receive the assurance of heaven, and that's by receiving what Christ did on the cross for us. Only one way to heaven, but He is the way to get there. We're sinners. Sin caused a gap between us and Him that had to be dealt with, but He sent His Son to span the gap. To pay for our sins, would you go to heaven? Would you want to have the assurance of that? Then we must receive the work of the cross. But if you have not, well then let me say it this way. Not original to me, but worth reminding all of us of. For the person who has never received Christ as Savior, this is as close as you'll ever get to heaven. For the Christian, good news, this is the closest we'll ever get to hell. We're right in the middle right now. Which way are you headed? He wants you headed for heaven. And He wants you to have the joy of worshiping Him during the journey, knowing Him during the journey, knowing your eternity is secure, your forgiveness is now, you can have His purpose in your life, all those things He's about. But it must be something you individually, personally do. In a moment, we're going to be wrapping it up with some worship. During that time, if you haven't done that, go find a prayer partner back in the corner here, my far right, and let them know you want to make that decision. You want to pray that prayer of receiving the Lord. That's the only way that this applies. But have you done it? If you have, then know this. Heaven is secure. It's sure. And we are pilgrims passing through. We're going to keep a light touch on those things around us. And remember, whatever the source of our distress, this first song of ascent reminds us, when we cry out, God hears. When we cry out, God answers. And be assured that God delivers. He works because He's indeed faithful. Bottom line, worship. Worship is not just a destination, but the way to travel for pilgrims. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we get ready to respond to Him now in some worship. The altar is available. If you'd like to come up and just spend a little time, no one's going to bug you. If it's time to get focused back on this pilgrimage. Whatever the altar might mean for you, just come up and feel free to do that. But for all of us, let's make sure we go out of here thanking, rejoicing in, traveling in all that He has for us in our pilgrimage. It's supposed to be marked by worship. Father, we respond to you now by doing just that. We're going to sing worship, but Lord, we know also it means to live worship as we go out of here. So help us now, Lord, to lay hold of from this psalm of encouragement, this first of the psalms, the songs of pilgrims, this first one of that we can cry to you, pray to you, and know these certain things of you hearing and working and delivering. We can worship you because you're so worthy during this journey we're on. So Lord, help us do just that. We offer us to you in Jesus' name. Amen.